Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness towards us. And it's so wonderful to be back here again among all of you, friends, family. And, you know, we have been traveling a bit, and somebody asked me, well, what has been happening in Romania? Wonderful things. Ministry is expanding a bit. And just before we flew back on this trip about a week ago, I know most of you have gotten my book here, Jesus Revolution, in this book, in this church. Just before we flew back, Hillsong, UK, and Hillsong, Barcelona, had a conference. And one of the pastors in the conference wanted to promote this book at the conference. So I told him that we'll be back here in the States. And he says, why don't we do an interview to promote your book at the conference? So that is so exciting, because now Jesus Revolution is going into Hillsong. Wonderful, wonderful news coming from abroad. You know, and as I said just now, it is all because of the goodness of Jesus. Jesus is good to us, all right? And, you know, I was just praying for Robert just now. It says in the Bible, by his stripes we are healed. H-E-A-L-E-D. What does E-D stands for? Done deal. Done. Done. Jesus Christ has healed Robert. Hallelujah! It is the goodness of God that healed us. Healed us. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Jesus. All right. So before I begin today, let me tell you a joke first. And then you can see how this joke goes. There was this man in the desert. He was dying from thirst. He had been walking for many, many days. And finally, he stumbled into the house of the missionary. And there was a missionary out there in the desert. And the missionary took this man in and gave him food and shelter and nurtured him back until he was, you know, feeling better. And there was a town somewhere far away. And the man says, thank you so much, missionary. You know, I have to go now to the town, you know, and to get more medicine and so on. So he says, thank you. And as he was walking out of the door, he saw that the missionary has a horse outside. And he says, can I borrow this horse? And when I get to the town, then of course I'll return the horse to you. And the missionary says, yes, of course you can take my horse. Okay, and then just return it to me when you have, you know, when you're feeling much better and so on. And he says, there's just two things you need to know. The horse will move when you say, thank God. And it will stop when you say, amen. So the man says, well, you know, well, never mind, you know, it doesn't matter, you know. So he got on the horse and, whoa, what a feeling not to be walking in the desert, to be on the horse. So he said, thank God. So the horse started moving. And he was so pleasantly surprised. He says, see how good God is, you know. Thank God, thank God. And the horse started trotting along now at a fast clip. And he was, whoa, I mean, you know, at this rate, he will be at the town in no time. So he said, thank God, thank God, thank God. So the horse started galloping and galloping and galloping, and he was feeling pretty good. But after some time, he saw that he was coming to a cliff. And he looked and was coming up, but he forgot what to say to the horse to make the horse stop. So he says, pull on the reins of the horse. Didn't work. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Didn't work. All right. Stop! Didn't work. So he was panicking. Suddenly he remembered. He says, oh yeah, the missionary said, amen. And 2 inches from the cliff, the horse slowed down and stopped. Oh, he was so happy. He leaned back on his saddle and he said, "Thank God." Oh, yes. So today, if you want me to continue on, you say, "Thank God." And if you had enough, you say, "Amen." All right. Okay. So you see, you can actually start and stop the preaching today. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yes. So, are you ready for today? Thank God. Okay. Okay, so now we are starting. In the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is revealed. Okay? So today we are going to do a little bit of Old Testament, and then I will show you the revelation of Jesus in the Old Testament. Ready? Okay. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath to the Lord." All right? So this is not the weekly Sabbath or anything. That was another commandment. This commandment concerns the Sabbath of the land. Sabbath of the land. Okay, what does that mean? 6 years, verse 3, you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in the fruit. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest to the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. All right? So very simple. When the Israelites go into their land, the land which God has given to them, God says, here is a commandment. Right now, remember, this is the law. This is the Old Testament. Okay? But there are principles we can learn here. And then, after that, we will take this same scripture and reveal Jesus to you. So, the first one is, every 7 years, in the 7th year itself, there shall be a rest for the land. 6 years, you will do work, you will sow and you will plow, but in the 7th year, you will do no sowing, no plow, no reaping, all right? No plowing, no reaping. And this is a commandment which was very strange. And it went on some more, let's read some more. Verse 8, and you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years to you. 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Okay, so simple again. Every 7 years, the 7th year, you will not sow and you will not reap. Okay, and then you do this 7 times over. So what is 7 times 7? That's the 49 years that you see there. All right, so you will do this 49 times. I mean, 7 times over 7 times, and each 7th year will be a rest for the land. All right? So now 49 years have passed. And now comes the 50th year. Verse 9. You shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee, so the 50th year is actually the year of Jubilee, to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. It's always the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man into his possession unto his possession, and you shall return every man unto his family. All right? That's the 50th year. Now, once again, let's get back to this. God told Moses this commandment. And he told this commandment for a purpose. Once again, you plow and you reap for 6 years. And then in the seventh year, you rest. Now, the Israelites didn't like this commandment at all. They didn't like it because they couldn't understand what was happening here. This commandment made no sense because, you see, the Israelites are very, very, very self-works, have a self-works mentality. They believe that if I don't sow, that means I'm not going to reap, that means there is nothing to eat. So we cannot follow this commandment because if we follow this commandment, then we will all die. This is very much like how we think actually today. We get what we deserve. That's what people tell us. You get what you deserve. So if you work very hard, you deserve very much. So if you sow a lot, you will reap a lot. Whereas in the kingdom of heaven, you get what you do not deserve. Amen. You see, our world system is you get what you deserve. In God's kingdom, you get what you do not deserve. That's why it's called unmerited favor or grace of God. How many of us deserve Jesus Christ? None of us. It's not our goodness. It is not because of our performance. It is not because of our behavior that gives us or deserve us Jesus. None of us deserve it. Now, the Israelites couldn't take this commandment. They say, if we do not sow in the seventh year, then we will not reap. And if we do not reap, we do not eat. Then what happens in the eighth year? If we do not sow in the seventh year, nothing will be reaped in the eighth year. Then what do we eat? Then how about the years after that? When do we sow again so that we can reap? So the Israelites never followed this commandment at all. Never. In all their years in the promised land, they never followed this commandment. All right? Now, you may say, sounds pretty logical. You know, if they don't sow, they will not reap. So what are they going to eat? God himself gave them an answer. All right? So jump with me to verse 19. And the land shall yield her fruit, and you shall eat your fill, and dwell therein in safety. And if you shall say, what shall we eat in the seventh year? Behold, we shall not sow, nor gather in our increase. Exactly what was asked. Then, okay, here's the answer. Then I will command my blessing upon you in the sixth year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. You see, the reason God wanted them to rest was so that the people can see that the provider was God himself. Not the land, not the crops, not the animals. Nothing in the new land was to be your provider because God was to be your provider. The people had to rest in him, knowing that he is the one doing all the provision. So when the people were doing nothing in that year. We are talking about sowing and reaping, okay? When the people were not sowing and they were not reaping, they could still eat. Look at verse 19 again. Then the land shall yield her fruit. Why? Because God will make the land yield her fruit. And you shall eat your fill. That means you can have all that you want to eat, even though you didn't sow in the seventh year, and then again in the eighth year. And you will dwell there in safety. So that means even though you didn't do this, God will make your land yield its fruit. You will eat everything you want. You will not be hungry. And you will also dwell there in safety. Are you with me so far? Because God was going to be your provider. Let's read a little bit more, and then we will jump to the other one. Okay? For the next 3 years, verse 22. So now, seventh year you do nothing. In the eighth year you will sow, but when you sow in the eighth year, the harvest will come in the ninth year. Alright? You sow at the end of the eighth year, the harvest comes at the end of the ninth year. You shall sow in the eighth year and eat of the old fruit until the ninth year. Until her fruits come in, you shall eat of the old store. That's the one from the, come on, which year? The sixth year, all right? And in verse 24, it says, and in all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption for the land. Okay, so we know now, God says, I'm going to take care of you. You rest in me. Now, every 7 years, the seventh year, you will rest, correct? And you do this seven times over. So once again, seven times seven is 49 years. Now, we all know that in the Bible, the number seven stands for perfection. So seven is perfection, means that in the seventh year, you are going to rest in perfection. Who is perfection? Jesus. But now comes the next one. You are going to repeat this seven times over. So now it's seven, which is perfection, times seven, which is perfection. So now it's perfection square. That means seven times seven. That means after 49 years have gone by, in the 50th year, someone, something is going to be manifest. Something which will give you liberty. Something, in this case here, is going to happen, which is the year of Jubilee, is going to take place. Whereby, let's look at verse 10 again now. You shall hallow the 50th year. Alright? So the 50th year is what? Proclaim liberty. It is the Jubilee year. You, in this case, in the Old Testament, the 50th year, you shall proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a, come on, Jubilee, year of Jubilee for you. All right. So after perfection upon perfection has been gone, 49 years, the real person appears. Remember, I told you, in the Old Testament, Jesus Christ is concealed. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is revealed. So the revelation comes in the year of Jubilee. Are you doing anything in the year of Jubilee? Are you sowing and reaping? No. Because remember, once again, the seventh year, which is the 49 years here, did you sow and did you reap? No. The 49th year, you did nothing. And remember, the 50th year, you are still eating from the, come on, the 48th year. You did nothing in the year of Jubilee. But you are going to eat your fill. Everything you want is provided by the provider, Jesus Christ. You see, in the New Testament, we are all New Testament believers. We are not under the Old Covenant. We are not under this commandment, which nobody ever followed anyway. Okay? So, but we are not even given this commandment. This was given to the Jews. We are told to operate out of rest in Jesus Christ. Now, people say, why? You see, I wrote about this in my book, and people say, why? Because if you operate out of rest, well then, nothing will be done, you see. I mean, how am I supposed to live? How am I supposed? Now, let me give you the answer. Rest means you are dependent on Jesus. It's not that we are so lazy that we do nothing. We rest on Jesus' finished work on the cross. You see, we say, Jesus Christ, the work is finished. The work is finished. We rest upon your finished work. That means we are dependent on you, Jesus. That is why we can rest. Otherwise, we would say, well, I have to do this. You see, if I don't do this, I will not eat. How can anything be done without me not working? How can families be restored? How can I make a living? How can I do all of this if I don't go out there and work and work and work because it is all about me? But Jesus says, come to me. Come on, you know this? All of you who are heavy laden, burden, and I will give you rest. You see, it is not because we are lazy and that we are not working, because when we rest in Him, He supplies us with everything to get things done. We are resting in Him. We are resting in Jesus. All right? So now comes, once again, 49 years have passed, and now the 50th year is here, year of Jubilee, all right? So what does this mean, you see? First of all, verse 10 again, you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. It's the redemption of the land, all right? Whereby everything is returned back to its owner. So if you have a servant, you return the servant. So you return everything. Everything is restored back to the way God originally intended it to be. And this is done from rest. Let's read this again. We know that for us, our Jubilee, the one who gives us liberty is Jesus. He shall proclaim liberty, Jesus, now, throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. Who gave us liberty? Jesus. Did we do anything to deserve it? No. You see, in that time, they had food and they ate, but they didn't do any work in that year. You see, the Old Testament is a shadow. It shows you something which is coming in the New Testament. So here is the shadow. They didn't do any work in that year. Yet, they were fed, they ate their fill, and they were satisfied. But for us, it's not about this. It is about Jesus. Jesus came to proclaim liberty for the whole world. Throughout the earth and to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for us. And look at the next one. Each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. When you have Jesus, when you are resting in the finished work of Jesus, every one of you who has had possessions stolen, people did you wrong, you lost possessions. Each one of you, because of Jesus' finished work, these possessions that were stolen from you will be restored. Now, see, this is not you going out there killing yourself trying to get back the possessions. This year is a year of rest. As I told you, the Israelites did not do anything in that year. Yet, they were amply supplied. Because our God is a supplying God. Look again and see. Every one of you, your possessions will be returned to you because of the finished work of Jesus. And now look at the second part. And each of you shall return to his family. There will be a restoration as well of families. Some of us, we say, well, you know, we have people whom we love. You know, we have just children, we have parents, we have relatives. And we say, how can this happen? It cannot happen. It cannot happen when you are doing it. But when you are at rest in Jesus, this is what's going to happen. Restoration of your families. Those whom you love. And you say, well, do I have to do anything? The answer is no. Why? Because Jesus himself will do it for you. Hallelujah. The reason for the land Sabbath was very simple, as I told you just now. The Israelites didn't like it because the Israelites were very much into self-works. And they said, we should do it. We cannot trust God. But God says, I am your provider. Not the land. You see, that's why you say, they say, the land is very important. The land will give to me. But God says, no, it is not the land that gives to you. Because I give to you. It is God himself who will provide for the Israelites. Just like for us, it is Jesus himself who will restore all of this back to us. It is Jesus himself. And we are told to rest in this work of Jesus. Rest in him. And look at, once again, verse 19. Okay, this was the promise given to the Israelites, which of course they didn't follow. And the land shall what? Yield its fruit. The land. God will bless the land. The land will yield its fruit. And you will eat your fill. You see, we get so afraid. We say, how can this happen? If we don't do it, surely all of us must die. But that is not how God looks at it. You see, we cannot be caught in this. I deserve what I put in, you see. I get what I deserve. Do you know what philosophy you are following there? That is actually Buddhism. You know, Buddhism is you do good, you get back good. You do bad, you get back bad. So you deserve whatever you do. You do good, you get good. But in the kingdom of heaven, we all know that it is unmerited favor from God. We get what we don't deserve. You see, it is so hard to grasp this because we are so much into the other concept. We say, no, it cannot be. And God says, no, it is not about your works, but it is about the finished work of Christ that gives you, you will eat your fill and you will dwell there in safety. It is about the finished work of Christ. Just want to close with this. You remember in Ruth, the book of Ruth, okay? Ruth came to Boaz. Boaz was that rich landowner. And Boaz covered Ruth with his cloak. And morning came. Actually, we can turn there. Ruth, just quickly. Ruth chapter 3, verse 15. Ruth chapter 3, verse 15. All right, so this is Boaz saying to Ruth, bring the veil that is upon your head, hold it. And when she held it, that's Ruth, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law, Naomi. She says, who are you? She told her all that the man had done for her. All that the man, Boaz, had done for her. And she says, look, these are the 6 measures of barley given to me. Go not empty to your mother-in-law. All right. And here is something very, very strange. People ask me, why did he give 6 measures of barley? Remember, the Israelites sowed for 6 years. Why 6 measures of barley? 6 ephahs of barley. Why? Why not 8? Why not 9? You see, the 7th measure, okay, now remember, this is Boaz giving to Ruth. He gave her 6. Because the 7th measure is Boaz himself. And when you get Boaz, you get the provider. Look at the next line. Verse 18. Naomi said to Ruth now, sit still. Don't do anything. Go in rest. It is no longer up to you. Your 6 years you have sown, you have reaped. But now comes perfection. Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn up. For the man will not rest until he has finished the matter. For Jesus will not rest until he has found each and every one of us. You see, there is something sometimes where we say, well, we are so worried about our situations, we are so worried about our financial situations, about families, about our health, about things happening in our life. And we say, what must I do? Remember the rich young ruler said, what must I do to, come on, earn salvation? What do you have to do to earn salvation? Nothing. What can you do to earn salvation? The answer is nothing. You do not earn salvation. Some of us, we are so worried, and we say, well, what must I do? The answer is plain. Rest in Jesus and His completed work. To be completely dependent on Jesus. And see what the Lord can do in your life. In your work, in your family, every aspect of your life. And you say, well, I don't deserve it. Exactly. That's why it's called grace. You do not have to earn it. You just have to rest in the completed work of Christ. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.